remained a thorn for generations. If they come at us in force, perhaps it'll be a good time to bring the might of the Vellum Empire to bear. One can hope.
Vise a goodwill, then, if that's what you believe.
Why not goodwill? Gregory chuckled. It costs nothing, and it might blind others to what happens in the dark. Shinner dipped his head.
That's true.
Alberet came back with tea, stopping the conversation.
How would you like your black tea, sir?
He asked Gregory.
Plain. I've grown accustomed to it on patrol.
Alberet prepared a cup for Shinner, then Gregory.
You're dismissed, Alberet,
Shinner said.
Pettit and I have sensitive topics to discuss.
Alberet hesitated for a fraction of a second before bowing low.
As you decree, sir.
When the butler left, Shinner pulled out a gem and slotted it into the table beside him.
Now, Pettit, we can talk freely. You wanted to discuss the previous topic?
You asked who I'd upset to warrant the powder, Ambassador, Gregory said, taking a small sip from his cup. It was clear you knew who the target was.
Shinner's face blanked as he sat back to drink his own tea.
I see. My emotions were high that day. Seeing you, I could only imagine that if someone was going to pull enough strings to try something that crazy, then it would be to attack whoever had embarrassed someone of power. Your ambassador is, frankly, a nobody. You, as you said yourself, had the Archmage's favor and were undefeated during the tournament. Who else could it have been for?
Gregory checked different futures before replying.
You don't think it could have been for another embassy?
Shinner's face paled for a fraction of a second before he regained control.
No, it only makes sense if it was for you.
I wonder, with as large of a blast the powder caused, it would have been brought to your door regardless. No other nation has ever used that powder. Any fire magic user makes the stuff untenable to use.
Shinner's lips pursed. Sipping his tea for a minute in silence, he considered what Gregory was saying. The blast had been large. It would have caused problems for him. What if the attempt had been mostly successful? What if the powder had gone to Gregory's embassy, but then been returned? It would explain why Gregory was sitting here calmly. He knew without a doubt that he'd been the target and had stopped it. But that shouldn't be possible. The Black Cat had been a high-rank Magus. There was no way a fresh Magus-tier Magi could have contested the delivery with him. Gregory watched the future in silence. Shinner was debating a lot of things internally, and the future was waiting for him to decide his path. The most likely outcome was the one Gregory had reported to Rudit and his wives, but things could change if Shinner became irrational.
I think the portfolios on your family need to be updated,
Shinner said flatly.
You're all obviously more than your peers could ever hope to match.
Gregory chuckled.
If only they accepted that. Out of curiosity, Ambassador, have you had dealings with the Yulin family?
Shinner's eyes twitched before stilling.
The Merchant House? I believe they have deals here in Krogar. I've never met the family myself.
Well, the only person that I'm aware that I upset greatly was Dan Yulin, the heir of the family. He was being snide to Claudia Firetongue while I was her guard. He stormed out when I called him on his rudeness. Would he have enough sway to arrange an assassination attempt?
Shinner's brow furrowed briefly.
I'm not sure. They did have many deals in place from shortly after the tournament. It's possible, but I couldn't say.
Shinner was glad to point Gregory at anyone other than himself.
I'd ask the man responsible for the attack, but he died in it.
Pity. I'd have loved to speak with him. Gregory sighed. I'll keep our talk confidential from important people. I'll be telling my wife that her former fiancé was the one behind the attack, though. She takes dim views on people who attack us.
Yukiko, right?
When Gregory nodded, Shinner went on.
A shadow magi is always a bad enemy to have. Clearly, Yulin should have considered her more dangerous than he did.
True. She is not someone anyone would want to have as an enemy. I'll let her know how forthcoming you were during the talk. You obviously had no idea how things were going to be. I do have to ask just how much you knew, though. Did the Black Cat advise you that he was going to attempt to kill us?
Shinner sighed, setting his empty cup down.
Politics, Pettit. Yes, he advised me that he was targeting you. I should have asked for clarification on how. If he'd even hinted at the powder being used, I'd have stopped it. It's far too flashy and draws too much attention.
Very well. I'll accept that. Gregory set his empty cup down. Thank you, Ambassador.
What will you tell Glowstone about this meeting?
That I wanted to ask how Claudia Firetongue was doing. She was a friend to my wives during the tournament. Can you answer that?
She's still the Archmage's favorite, Shinner snorted. The last news that I've received was that she was training multiple paths and advancing far faster than her peers.
He paused, giving Gregory a searching look.
Much like you and your wives.
We taught her the Peaceful Fist. Well, her and some others. I'm sure that at least one or two of the other Baldoon mages have also seen rapid growth.
Maybe. I'll have to suggest they look at that.
Thank you for your time, Ambassador, Gregory said, bowing in his seat. I should depart so we don't make people think our conversation was for more than an inquiry on old friends.
Yes, of course, Shinner said, standing up. My secretary will summon someone to show you out.
Gregory bowed as a Baldoon native to Shinner before heading for the door. Chapter 16. When Gregory had gone back to the embassy, he acted as if nothing was out of the ordinary. He felt an Aether user watching him the entire time. That didn't end until he retired to his room with his wives. Once they were finally alone, he told them about his talk with Shinner. While he did that, he wrote out a note to Rudit that he could pass to her, explaining the meeting. Doing it this way would make sure they didn't have to use the enchantment in the office. Nothing untoward happened after the meeting, and the next 2 days were spent training. Everyone worked on their magic and trained. When Gregory told them about the days coming up, they were all excited. First, Gregory and Mindy would see Ragnar and Verka at the honor duels. The day after that, Verka was going to ask for a day to show them the city. The details weren't clear because of his trouble with foresight and gods, but Yukiko was able to make plans. Gregory was grinning when he walked with Mindy beside him.
It'll be interesting. I didn't realize how fun not knowing everything can be sometimes.
Between me and Verka, I don't have to bite my nails and worry, Mindy murmured, walking with her arm linked through his. If not for her and me, I'd be a nervous mess.
Gregory patted her hand that held his elbow with his free hand.
You've gotten better at not worrying so much. Besides the festival, you've barely fretted.
Any time you fight Ragnar, I think I'll always be nervous. I'm confident that we'll be able to handle anything that happens today.
I never worry when my dear healer is here to watch over me.
Mindy's cheeks heated lightly.
Oh, you always make me feel special.
Because you are my star-eyed heart.
Mindy's blush deepened.
Thank you, my soul. I hope you always find my eyes as enchanting as you do today.
For all time.
Vera blessed your family, Greta said, slowing her pace to walk beside them. I saw you all at Simple Fair the night you went out. The way all of you interacted with each other made the love clear.
You wanted to see what we all did after I'd asked for your help? Gregory asked with a grin.
I did vouch that you'd behave. Greta shrugged. I just wanted to be sure things were okay, she chuckled.
I can't believe you ate the eyeball. Mindy looked away, her smile fading to disgust as she fought the urge to vomit at the memory.
It wasn't my favorite, Gregory shrugged. The tongue was better.
It really is, Greta said, then saw Mindy's expression.
Oh, sorry.
The eyeball was a bit too much for me to watch, Mindy said with a pained smile.
Gregory patted her hand again.
I'll try not to bring it up again.
Me too, Greta said. The bathhouse was good for you?
Yes,
Mindy said, able to focus on the better parts of that day.
We'll be using it again.
Yeah, maybe soon, even,
Gregory murmured, thinking about the uncertain day with Verka tomorrow.
Oh, do you think so?
Mindy asked with a bright smile.
That would be nice.
We'll have to see what tomorrow brings, Gregory chuckled.
I'm not sure who the champion is going to be today, Greta said. You've had a lot of iChampion Iverson's closest friends show up so far.
Gregory motioned to the sunken fighting pit ahead of them.
It's him.
Greta's jaw dropped when she saw the crowd at the arena. Ragnar's voice suddenly boomed out, calling to Gregory in a friendly manner as he raised a hand in greeting. Virka smiled, her eyes tracing over Gregory and Mindy. Her lips ticked up into a knowing smirk before she dipped her head to them. High Priest Stenson stood stoically nearby, waiting for the duelers to get closer.
Greta Vexedotar, you have done well with these duels.
Stenson addressed her first.
I will speak on your behalf to join the raids this year.
She's in,
Ragnar said.
As is her friend, Angela Evadotter. Champion Ernadotter was pleased when I told her that her daughter would be raiding beside her.
Greta's eyes were wide.
But I didn't do well during the festival.
You lead people far better than most,
Ragnar said.
Not many could have accomplished these peaceful duels and made them last this long.
Which is what brings me here,
Stenson said, stepping back in.
When Greta goes to raid, I will have another leading the honor duel so it stays calm and collected. Of course, only if that is acceptable to your embassy, Petits.
If they can keep the peace and orderliness that Greta brings, that'll be fine, Gregory said. It'll be up to them to step in and make it work. If they can't, we'll postpone them until Greta returns.
That is acceptable.
Stenson nodded.
I'm sure it will be fine. This exchange of culture between your embassy and our country is unprecedented. We'd like to keep the Honorable Magi working with us.
Will you be staying for the duel, sir? Mindy asked Stenson.
I will stay for Ragnar's matches, but then he and I must go speak.
Ragnar shrugged.
Ready to spar, Greg?
After you.
Gregory said. Ragnar laughed as he leapt into the sunken pit.
Just weapons, but I hope for a better spar than our last one.
Gregory jumped in more sedately. He had his sheathed weapon in his hand a moment later.
I'd prefer not to trip again.
As the pair got ready to duel, Virka came to stand beside Mindy.
My friend said she's been working with you on the healing.
Friend?
Mindy asked. Lita came out of the crowd with a smile.
I was so surprised when Virka said you'd healed her eyes.
Mindy's smile brightened upon seeing the other healer.
Lita, it's good to see you. I had no idea you two knew each other. Virka is my senior,
Lita said.
She's the one helping me with healing, even though she has two magics.
She lowered her voice, leaning in a little.
The High Priest has been the one working with her on her other magic.
He's been like a grandfather to me, Virka said. She brushed some hair back so her dark blue eyes were visible to Mindy. Thank you, Mindy. I was blind until you helped me see. Now I can enjoy all the lovely sights. I'm eager to see everything that I've missed. If it's okay, since I owe a debt to you and your family, I'd like to escort you around the city tomorrow.
I'll have to make sure that it's okay with my family and the ambassador first,
Mindy said, her small wink clear.
If we can't go out, maybe you can sit and have tea with us at least?
That would be lovely. Oh, they're starting.
Gregory grunted. He was once again losing to Ragnar. Even with the physical enhancement magic that he was growing used to, his body was not as infused as Ragnar's, and the edge of speed and strength was wearing him down. One day, he knew he'd be able to match Ragnar equally on a physical level, making their fights far more competitive. They were matched in skill with their chosen weapons, but right now, every other edge went to Ragnar. After another few minutes, Gregory missed a block, being just a little too slow. The crunch of his shoulder was loud, but he doubted anyone else heard it with how loud the crowd was. There might have been a riot if not for Stenson on hand, as the Krogians were raucous for their champion. The moment his shoulder broke, Ragnar leapt well back. Mindy, Lita, and Virka were all beside Gregory in the next instant. Gregory was breathing hard from the fight, his teeth clenched as the trio of healers pushed their magic into him. The alternating waves of hot and cold flowed through him, then focused on his shoulder.
I see,
Mindy murmured. She followed Virka's lead as the bigger woman was using a technique that Mindy hadn't known to better focus her healing.
Virka? Wow,
Lita whispered. Her eyes were wide. She was shocked at how precise her friend was. It was far better than anything Verka had ever done before. Gregory was staring into Verka's dark blue eyes. He saw the care, concern, and love in the depths of them. His soul quivered as they continued to stare into each other's eyes after the healing stopped.
"Is he okay, sister?"
Ragnar asked, his voice breaking the moment. Verka flushed as she turned away from Gregory, her heart hammering in her chest.
Yes, he is healed.
Gregory exhaled when Verka looked away. He glanced to his side, meeting Mindy's gaze, and he felt terrible for having been lost in Verka's eyes. But there was no pain, jealousy, or anger in Mindy. What he found was almost exactly what he'd seen in Verka's eyes, plus a hint of heat.
"I'll have to work on what she showed me," Mindy said gently. "Please roll your shoulder for me."
Lita had missed it, having been lost in her own thoughts over the level of healing that had happened so quickly. When Gregory shifted his arm, she was pulled back to reality.
"Huh? Fully healed?" Mindy smiled.
"It was a good fight, Greg,"
Ragnar grinned.
"Do you want to try for another, but with different weapons?"
Gregory asked.
"Gladly. What weapons?"
"Anything you're not fully skilled at,"
Gregory said as his naginata vanished and he pulled out a wakizashi.
"I'm trying to equal my wife one day on how skilled she is with this blade."
Ragnar grinned, then summoned the same weapon.
"Perfect."
Later that night, Gregory shut the door to the front room with a grin.
"Oh, it was a good day."
"Didn't you lose all three times?"
Jen asked, making sure she had it clear from their talk earlier.
"Naginata, Wakizashi, and Guandao," Mindy said primly. "I'm glad that Verka and Lita were there."
Then she smiled brightly.
"Verka showed me how to better focus my healing today. Because of, you know..."
Clover paused. She glanced at Gregory, who gave her a nod.
"Because of her past life?"
"Yes. She's healing above me and was keeping it back,"
Mindy nodded.
"Lita was floored with how much Verka could do."
"Are we good for tomorrow?"
Yukiko asked.
"We didn't get a clear answer this morning."
"Yes,"
Gregory said.
"Verka will be over to take us into the city."
"I suggested clean waters,"
Mindy blushed. Roshana laughed.
"So we can ask the naked questions we need to?" "Yes, I thought you'd like that." "I do. Thank you, our dear healer,"
Roshana said, giving Mindy a kiss.
"I'll admit that Verka intrigues me with her size," Ling said.
"Not just you," Jen said softly. "She's everything I wanted to be growing up. Big, strong, and powerful."
"We love you just the way you are,"
Gregory said, pulling her a little closer to his side after sitting beside her. Jen's lips twitched and she looked up at him.
"I know, but I kind of want to watch Yuki push her around like me."
"Oh, yes,"
Mindy whispered. Yukiko giggled.
"We'll have to see what she likes. If she's amenable, I'll put her on the ground and make you take control of her."
Gregory coughed as that idea was firmly planted in his mind. When all of his wives looked his way, he turned deep red.
I'd enjoy that."
Jen giggled, then pushed into him to kiss him hotly.
"Bed, please! Yuki, please?"
Clover asked eagerly. Everyone laughed at Clover's enthusiasm except for Jen and Gregory, who were lost in the kiss.
"As soon as she lets him go,"
Yukiko snickered.
"Let's make sure our husband is well-loved tonight."
Chapter 17.
"Good morning, Radit,"
Gregory smiled as he took the seat across from her.
"You seem happier than usual, which is saying something. What can I do for you, Gregory?"
"I'd like the day off, as I discussed yesterday."
"I see. Are there any problems that I should know about?"
"Not for the embassy. As for me and my wives, I can't say. Whatever effect shifts the futures around Ragnar might be familial."
Rudit's head dipped a fraction.
"Interesting that both brother and sister would be like that. Only the gods would know why they cause such issues."
Gregory was blank-faced, but he was sure that Rudit knew who he was. It wouldn't take a far leap for her to understand who Ragnar and Verka were. Even with no one watching them, he wasn't going to give any indication as to her hint.
You all have the day off. 1 or 2 days a month is fine. I myself will be taking 2 days off this coming month. You and your wives will need to fill in for me.
Yes, ma'am,
Gregory said, his mind racing at what he could arrange if they were the ambassadors. It would be fine to use the enchantments at least once during those 2 days. Asking Spirit Lotus to come to talk about Toja during that time would let all of them safely hear the story at once.
Very well, Gregory. I will join the others this morning for the Peaceful Fist. Shall we?
Yes, ma'am,
Gregory said, standing up when she did.
Before we go,
Rudit said, having come around her desk to stop short of him.
My son was asking about plans after the embassy. His questions pointed to perhaps settling down with a life partner while I continue on with my duties to the clan. What can you tell me about his sudden interest in the idea?
Gregory stared at her before sighing.
I was asked by someone if Makar would be interested in a full Yurtik as a partner. They didn't feel comfortable asking Makar themselves, so I acted as a go-between for them.
Rudit's lips twitched, her eyes sparkling.
I miss grandchildren. She motioned Gregory toward the door. That's what I told him. Would this person be good for my son?
I think they would, but that'll depend on how they act with each other.
Makar got up when the pair came out of the office.
Ambassador!
I'm off to do the Peaceful Fist. Come along. You might not be Magi, but it is still good exercise.
Yes, Mother,
Makar said, having heard the soft tone instead of the work tone.
I was just telling Gregory about your questions to me the other day.
Makar's face went wooden, but he fell into step with them.
Oh, Mother, why?
Because it was clear as day to me that something prompted your questions. That narrowed the most likely person who had prompted you to one of the Magi. Out of all of them, you see Gregory the most. He didn't try to lie or evade. He answered my question about it.
She didn't ask who, only if the individual would be good for you,
Gregory said.
Oh, I see,
Makar said slowly.
I'm still shocked Rafik would approach you like that.
Rudit stopped dead, forcing the other two to stop. She looked at Makar in shock, then saw the frown on Gregory's face. Exhaling roughly, Rudit snorted.
Well done, my son. Well done. For a second there, I really thought that Rafik had asked you to join his family.
I did learn from the best, Mother,
Makar grinned.
Gregory didn't give me a name, but I very much doubt it was Rafik. If it was, would you object?
Rudit started walking again.
No. Love is rare enough that you should take it where you find it. I don't think you're interested in men, though, making it a shock if it had been Rafik,
she smiled softly.
Besides, he'll go back to the archive, and that means I know where you'd be and could visit easily.
It wasn't Rafik,
Gregory chuckled. Around the corner of a crossing hall, Rafik paused at the intersection.
What was sent me, Greg?
The three of them stopped and stared at Rafik, then started laughing. Rafik folded his arms into his sleeves of his outer robe and waited for them to stop. He was curious about what had caused them to laugh at his simple question.
Sorry,
Gregory chuckled, able to get a hold of his laughter.
It's a long story. Walk with us. We're heading for the Peaceful Fist.
I was heading that way too,
Rafik said, falling into step with them.
The long and short of it is, someone asked me if Makar would be interested in them. I've withheld the name of the person, as they didn't want to cause trouble. Makar suggesting to Rudit that he might settle down soon prompted her to inquire if the person would be good for her son. Makar decided to be a bit of a brat and said that your family would be wonderful for him.
Rafik nodded along.
I see. I'm not sure how my son would take having a second father. Makar has shown consideration to those under his care, which bodes well for any children he'd have. My wife does send care for soft skin, so she would likely not be enthused about such an arrangement.
The other three stopped walking, so Rafik went a little ahead of them before he stopped to look back at them. His snout twitched into a smile.
Oh, I see why he did that. You three look quite amusing.
Laughter came again as the four of them started walking once more. Gregory had to wipe tears away from how hard he'd laughed. As they got closer to the yard, Rafik spoke up again.
Makar, I will say that if you find someone who loves you, it is a blessing. There will be ups and downs, but if you both care for each other, there's nothing as wonderful.
I've just felt best being beside my mother, helping her with her obligations. But I am getting on in years now, and I would like to have a family. Maybe my child would be a magi. You'd take care of them, wouldn't you?
The question was directed at Rudit.
Of course. I'd make sure they have everything they needed. They'd be as safe as I could make it for them, Rudit said softly, looking into the distance. I'd love to see them in the clan, standing beside me when Aether comes back.
Makar touched his mother's back lightly as they left the embassy for the training yard.
Then, with your blessing, I will ask the individual on a date.
I'll take the same 2 days off as you to see if the two of us have a connection.
You will always have my blessing, my son.
Rudit turned to embrace Makar.
I won't pry into who or how it goes, but I will always be here to listen.
Gregory made a mental note to have a talk with May. She'd need to know, as Makar would likely be asking about her soon. He'd take a few minutes after training to speak with her.
Gregory, will you approach the person who asked you?
Makar asked when Rudit let him go.
Could you ask if she'd be willing to go on a date next month?
I'll ask her before I leave the grounds for the day. I can already tell you her answer, though. It's a happy yes.
The part mink Yurtik shook his head.
Even having worked with you for months, it still takes getting used to you knowing things ahead of time.
Greg, we're about to start!
Jen called over to the group. When the peaceful fist ended, Gregory had a quick talk with his wives. There'd been smiles and giggles during his explanation. They promised to wait for him in the parlor, not wanting to embarrass May even more with all of them going with him. Entering the suite, Gregory cleared his throat.
May?
One moment,
May said from the bedroom. She came out of it a minute later.
Yes, sir?
Come sit, please.
Gregory said, motioning to the chair next to where he sat. May did as requested, but she was worried. Why would Gregory be here to talk with her? He and his wives had been so excited this morning as they were going into the city.
Calm, please, Gregory said. You'd asked me about Makar before. I'm here about that.
May swallowed, then nodded. Hope and sadness swirled in her chest.
Makar has decided that he'd like to have a date to see if he has a connection with the person who inquired about him. It would be next month, when he and Rudit are taking 2 days off.
Hope suddenly burst bright in her heart.
Yes!
Gregory smiled softly at the joy in that single word.
I'll let him know that you agree, but also that it's you.
Her hope dimmed a little.
Will he be okay with me being the one who asked?
May, if you're honest in your feelings, it'll work out,
Gregory said softly.
Don't try to be different. Just be you. Jen's excited for you. We all are. The bright smile you wear every day is something he'll love about you, too.
May wiped at her face.
Yes, Greg. Thank you.
He shifted to kneel beside her chair, hugging her.
Be honest. Be open. And be you. You'll have the love you always wanted, as will he. The future for you both will have ups and downs, but that love will be bright and keep you together.
May cried into his shoulder as she squeezed him.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, May. All of you are. I had no idea what my trying to find a cook would lead to, but I'll always be happy that I brought you all out of that place.
May held him and cried tears of joy. A life of serving men and women who despised her, yet wanted her body, had jaded her. Or she thought it had. But day by day, since Gregory pulled them out of the hell she'd known as life, things had improved. Now she was going to have a chance to have a family with a good man. From the moment she'd seen Makar, she'd felt something in her heart stir, and she could admit that to herself now. Vera must have blessed her from the day Gregory rescued her. Chapter 18.
How did she take it?
Jen asked when Gregory joined them.
She cried happy tears of hope, Gregory smiled.
Oh, good. I hope Makar is serious about it. If he hurts her, I'll be unhappy with him.
I don't think Rudit's son would be like that,
Yukiko said.
If anything, him even wanting to try shows how serious he is. I just hope him being older than her isn't going to cause problems.
Do you think he'll free her before the posting is up?
Clover blurted out.
He'd need to leave his posting to free her, Ling said sadly. Otherwise, he's breaking the law. This is a piece of the Empire. No Yurtik is supposed to be free here. That's why Ambassador Blit didn't come to visit us.
That would have been awkward,
Roshana said.
No, it would have been terrible, Mindy whispered. It would ignite a third war.
Gregory's lips pursed.
I wonder about that, as he'll be coming here in a couple of months. Every ambassador except Shinner plus the entire Kralheim Council will be here.
Why?
Yukiko asked.
Ragnar will be beginning his raids,
Gregory replied, then checked the room with Aethersight, as was becoming a habit.
He aims to take Bloodrock back for Kroga.
That'll cause the Empire to move to war footing, Jen said. It won't be a raid at that point.
That's why they'll come here. We'll be put on restricted movement the moment a full war is declared.
That'll cut into all the goodwill we've made,
Mindy said.
It'll cancel the honor duels and curtail a great deal of other things.
We'll need to make today a great day and plan for another one next month,
Yukiko said.
We'll likely not have the freedom to see Virka while a war is going on.
No!
Clover whined. Ling held her lover.
I agree. It's not what we'd like, but it's life. We'll make do, then make up for it afterward.
That we can do,
Yukiko nodded.
But we should focus on today. We're starting the initial steps of welcoming a new partner into our family. There might be bumps and snags, but we'll continue with things, even if a war delays the process.
I can agree with that,
Roshana smiled. Gregory looked out the window.
Let's go. She's at the gate.
As a family, they left the embassy, taking the most direct route to the gate. Sergeant Glasson was chatting with the much larger woman when the family arrived.
Give me just a minute to... or I can open the gate for them. Men, open the gate! Let the ambassadors out!
Glasson gave them a salute, his smile mostly suppressed.
Have a good day, sir and ma'ams.
Have a good day, Sergeant,
Gregory replied, returning the salute. Virka greeted each of the wives with a hug.
I'm so glad you could all come out for me to show you the city.
We're just as glad to be given the day off,
Clover beamed.
I have a few places that I especially want to show you, Virka said, her eyes going to Gregory. But if you have any place you wanted to go, I'm amenable to changing plans.
We did have somewhere that we would like to start with,
Yukiko smiled.
It was tough to arrange things so quickly, but the proprietor was understanding.
Virka linked arms with Yukiko.
Lead us, Yuki.
Yukiko's smile grew brighter as she walked with Virka on her arm.
Gladly.
The others fell into step behind them, with Jen and Gregory at the back of the line. Jen's hand rested on the inside of his elbow as each pair had adapted to copy Virka's lead.
The future is still shifting?
Jen asked softly.
The close future when I use foresight is fine,
Gregory whispered back.
But I can't see if anything happens when we reach our destination.
The people out and about all turned to watch the large group. Seven beautiful women and a single man was eye-catching. No one tried to stop them or even walk through them this time. Gregory thought that might be because Virka was a moving wall all by herself. As they got to clean waters, Verka's lips twisted into a smirk, but she didn't comment. She just stepped inside with Yukiko and waited to hear what they'd planned. By the time Gregory got inside, the owner was already leading Yukiko down the hall.
"Enjoy your bath,"
Walter Mikkelsen said, stepping aside after opening the door for them.
"We will,"
Yukiko grinned as she led Verka inside. Gregory let Jen go ahead, pausing to shake hands with Walter.
"Thank you for accommodating us again. Before I go, I'd like to arrange this for us again on the 19th of next month."
"Gladly, sir. I never thought Magi would be repeat customers, but it just shows how different you are from the normal Magi we have here."
Walter grinned, which was a sight to see with a toad your tick.
"We enjoyed our time here before, and Aether willing, we'll be able to keep doing so. Thank you."
"Thank you, Magi,"
Walter said, placing his fist to his chest as Gregory went in and shut the door. "Oh, good. He isn't trying to dodge it," Jen chuckled. Gregory shook his head as he locked the door behind him, then started to strip.
"No, I was just making sure we can come back in a month."
"For me?"
Clover asked with a bright smile.
"For your birthday, yes. We said we might make it a tradition."
"Today is 2 weeks past mine,"
Verka said. She pulled her shirt off slowly over her horns.
"That's good to know,"
Yukiko murmured, nearly done getting her clothing off already.
"Your birthstone is a sapphire?"
"Yes," Verka nodded. "I prefer darker blue ones. They go with my eyes."
"They would," Ling murmured as she shoved her clothing into her ring. "They're such a lovely dark blue now that they're healed."
"Thank you, Ling. I'm still grateful that you had the medicine on you."
"Light shield helped us there,"
Gregory said, pulling his pants off.
"One day I hope to be able to see as far ahead as he did. I really wish he'd shown me how to account for how you twist the future."
Verka snickered as she finished getting her clothing off.
"You used to complain about that before, too. In the end, you chalked it up to the five of us being so much more than everyone else."
Gregory felt a memory hit him, though it didn't pull him back like had happened before.
"I used to complain about it," he said slowly. "Mortum, Traveler, Krog, and you all laughed about it when I did."
Verka fell silent as she looked down.
"I shouldn't have laughed, though, should I? If you could see the future around me easily..."
She trailed off, shaking her head.
"I'd have known about your death," Gregory whispered. "You wouldn't have died last time. Not like you did. I tried to explain it to..."
Pain stabbed into his brain, cutting him off.
"Greg?"
Mindy asked, grabbing him when he clutched his head. Her magic surged into him, and Verka's joined hers a moment later. There wasn't anything to help with, though, as it wasn't a physical injury.
"I'm fine. Give me a moment,"
Gregory panted, the pain fading.
"I touched on a memory about my fight with Krog after Vera's death."
"Did darkness hurt you?"
Ling asked in shock.
"No, that didn't feel like her,"
Gregory said as the pain was gone.
"I think it was a memory I hated before. It's one I shouldn't know yet, so she just didn't help me with it."
His core warmed gently.
"She agrees. I'm sure she feels terrible about not helping."
His core pulsed again.
"That's something I'd like to know more about," Verka said. "Your lack of memory and more about darkness?"
"We also have things we want to know,"
Yukiko said, opening the doors to the bath proper.
"Shall we ask the naked questions?"
Verka blinked at Yukiko, then laughed.
"Oh, goodness. I forgot about that custom from Lamaze. Yes, we should."
"But first we need to scrub,"
Clover said.
"Yes, we do,"
Ling purred as she followed Yukiko into the bathing room.
"How are we going to split the cleaning, Yuki?"
"That's a good question. We all want to scrub Greg, but I'm sure Verka does too."
"I'd want to scrub all of you, but him a little bit more,"
Verka admitted. Yukiko glanced back at Gregory.
"You want to give our new friend a good scrub too, right, our soul?"
"Yes,"
Gregory said, pulling his eyes off Furka's back. The largest woman in the room was built strong. She was taller than he was, and far broader. The chiseled muscles she had weren't bulky, but she had far more muscle than any of his wives, even Jen. He'd let his eyes drink in her back from heels to horns before Yukiko had asked him.
If she doesn't mind.
Furka looked over her shoulder with lustful eyes.
I would never tell you no. However, I'm not yet a wife, so I'll abide by what you and your wives say.
Yukiko's lips twisted into a knowing smirk, as Gregory had clearly been enjoying seeing Verka naked.
We'll start as we have before, with all of us washing him. Then we can all wash Verka. After that, we'll finish and get into the tub for questions. We should focus on our task while we clean, though. Is there anything we should know, Verka? Any sensitive areas you'd prefer we avoid?
Verka blushed before she nodded.
Actually, yes. Please leave the bottom of my feet alone. I'm terribly ticklish there.
Jen's eyes gleamed as she filed away a weakness for her.
Oh, we'll avoid them today. We don't want to make you feel unwanted here.
Greg, take a seat.
Yukiko grinned.
Verka, would you like to get his front?
Furka's eyes raked over Gregory's body, lingering below his waist. The soft, sad sound escaped Clover unbidden. Furka's eyes darted to Clover before she giggled.
No, I think Clover wants that most.
Crimson cheeks blazed to life on Clover's face. Furka turned to Clover, opening her arms.
I'd never want to deny you what you enjoy most. May I have a hug as compensation for leaving your wants to you?
Clover flung herself into Verka's open arms.
Thank you! Thank you!
Everyone laughed at her happiness, but also at the fact Verka had caught the excitable squirrel. Hands cupping her firm posterior, Verka held Clover snugly. That pressed Clover directly into her breasts, which Verka was all for.
No fun until after cleaning,
Yukiko said with humor.
Well, this is starting off on good footing.
Gregory took a seat. He was red-faced himself as his brain lost blood, but still kept giving him ideas of how Verka would join in once she was a wife. Chapter 19. The small talk going on while everyone bathed was mostly about how each of them looked, how smooth their skin was, how lustrous another's hair was, or how beautiful their eyes were. None of it kept Gregory from standing proud, but at least his wives behaved themselves, because he felt like he was a breath away from embarrassing himself. He didn't flee when they finished washing him, though, because Verka was next. Gregory took her back, as he didn't feel comfortable scrubbing her front. Yukiko gave him a smirk, then knelt in front of Verka to handle it. He focused on her broad back, letting his soapy hands glide across her before digging his fingers into her muscles. Her sounds of enjoyment made his problem even harder to ignore, but he sought a semblance of meditation to get through it politely. The moment he was done with her back, Gregory rinsed his hands, then went straight to the heated pool. Getting in, he dunked his head to take away his senses to calm down more. When he resurfaced, he was better, but then he saw Verka sitting a few feet away with a knowing smile on her lips. Coughing, Gregory took a seat nearby, but not right next to her.
I won't bite, Greg. Not without permission, at least, Verka laughed.
Which you don't have yet,
Yukiko said from where she was washing Jen.
Exactly. I'll mind the rules of the family.
We appreciate that. I will say that we were all worried about meeting you the first time.
Because of who I am, Verka nodded. I understand that. To be fair, I worried about how you'd all respond to me. If you banded together in fear, well, we wouldn't be here. How hard would it be to reconnect with you all if you shut me out right away?
Thankfully, we're willing to listen to others,
Mindy said.
I can't even begin to tell you how nervous I was when I joined their clan. The faint hope of getting closer to Greg drew me in, but that was all while I told myself it was a useless hope. And yet, here I am. I have hopes of my own,
Gurka said. But while you wash, I wanted to ask Greg about... She suddenly cut off, half turning to look at the far wall. Gregory felt the aether a second after Verka, then saw the shadows forming. It was nothing big enough to be a danger, but was clearly enough to listen, so he coughed loudly.
Thank you for agreeing to show us the city, Verka.
Yes, I hope that it will build greater goodwill between our nations,
Verka replied, not happy.
Ling, how about some music?
Gregory called out. They'd all reached out with resonance when Verka cut off, so they'd found the intrusion just when Gregory asked about music. Ling was on her feet and going to the pool a moment later.
It's not much, but I'm still working on it,
Ling said, setting her latest iteration down beside Gregory.
Please wait for us to finish washing before you turn it on.
Of course, my heart,
Gregory said. They didn't take their time anymore, finishing getting washed as quickly as possible. The carefree feeling had shifted with the intrusion. A hint of bitterness had crept into the group that even in the bath, they weren't exactly safe from spying.
Here we are,
Yukiko said as she slipped into the spot between Gregory and Verka.
Ling, the music?
I'm setting it up now,
Ling said, placing the bane cores that would power it. The block that contained the enchantment was awkward with the slots Ling had on it for the cores. She'd solved the problem of keeping it running by linking spots for cores. That way, when one broke apart, she could slip another into place to keep it running. She wasn't happy with it yet, and she kept working on refining it for power and quality. Soft, lilting music began to emanate from the box before a sphere 20 feet across grew around it. It did require them to group up near the edge, but it would let them talk. Some of them ended up in each other's laps, with only Gregory and Verka being left without someone sitting on them.
I normally don't have people spying on me, Verka said.
It's unfortunately becoming commonplace for us, Gregory grumbled. Too many ears with no way of knowing who they belong to.
I could trace the shadows,
Yukiko said.
But it would give away that we know. I'm working on the assumption that it's best to hold back for now.
Probably for the best, Verka agreed. Now, before things escalate, Greg, please tell me more about darkness and your memories.
Gregory gave her even more information about darkness and what he knew of his past instructions. When he finished, he shrugged.
Now I have to wait until Master Tier at the earliest.
I see, Verka murmured. My death hurt you so much.
It started the cascade of all of us having to be reborn, Gregory said. I mean the five gods. You were the first to pass.
We're eating through cores faster than I'd like, Ling sighed. It's still not what it should be.
Then before we end this, Verka said with a soft smile, let me tell you about my resonance. I know that's what's required for me to begin the process of joining the family.
Yes, please!
Clover blurted with eagerness.
Calm, my pretty one, Ling laughed.
She held Clover with one hand before adding more cores to her enchantment.
Fear is always first, Verka said softly. Mine is silly, stupid, even considering who I am. Never finding love has been my fear over all of my lives, as far as I know. Even as Vera, it was my fear that Aether wouldn't love me, wouldn't accept me and my desires. How can I, the one known as love incarnate, never have it for myself? Yet it sits there in my soul, trembling. Even when my family grew into the hundreds with Aether, the fear only ever slept. It never left me.
Not every fear or weakness can be calmed,
Yukiko said softly.
But we are willing to open our arms to you. We'll address our resonances after you.
Weakness follows fear. Mine is the deep need to be accepted and loved. If not for my brother, I'd be a terrible mess of a person. He's always helped ground me and give me a relationship to clutch tightly to. Only Aether, his lives before, and now Greg, have ever helped me with that weakness.
She exhaled, then looked at Yukiko.
As much as I loved all of our wives, without Aether, it wouldn't have been as deep and lasting. I'm sorry.
We all feel that our love for him is our first priority,
Roshana murmured.
It's okay.
Strength comes after weakness. Mine is the depth of my love once it's given. I'll do anything for those I love, even if it hurts me. I know this will be the case with our family. As much as I want to marry all of you today, I know it can't happen that way. It makes my soul ache to be held back, but it needs to be for now.
The wait hurts, but when it's over, it's wonderful,
Ling said. Last is my desire, Virka went on, giving Ling a smile. It's as simple as the rest. Love, in all its forms. I'll gladly embrace and help my lovers have the joy of their heart's desires, no matter how odd or perverted others might see it. If you ask to be tied down, I'd gladly bind you. Need to be forced or need someone to control? I'll offer myself in either role, happily and willingly. Want to hunt me across the room, house, or city, only to bring me down and claim me? I'll run and evade as much as I can so you feel satisfied with the chase. I'll gladly strip and walk the streets naked if you ask me to. Anything my lovers wish for is always my greatest joy.
What about cuddles? Ling asked.
As often as you want them, as long as you like them, and as cuddly as you'd prefer.
That's wonderful. We'd all enjoy those desires,
Yukiko said.
Now, we need to do this a little faster for the rest of us. Greg, you start, please.
Right. My fear is...
They burned through Gregory's stockpile of Bane cores, but they all got the chance to tell Virka about their resonances. Yukiko went last. She'd been going to broach their friends' resonances, but held off. It was entirely up to them to want to share that. Ling exhaled when the last core she had in her enchantment shattered into dust.
That's it for the music.
Oh, it was so nice to have it while we soaked,
Roshana said.
But we've been in here long enough already.
Let's go, everyone,
Yukiko said.
You wanted to show us more of the city, right?
Yes, Virka said. I made sure a delightful little place would be ready for us when we arrived.
As they all got up and walked away from the bath, Gregory looked at the three shadows that were there to listen to them. One had been there initially, but while they'd chatted, two more had formed and stayed to listen. It was clear they had trouble hearing the conversation with how the spot kept moving around, as if trying to find a spot close enough to hear them clearly.
Greg, Virka said softly from beside him, your wives are wonderful. It feels like Vera blessed you to have so many charming, beautiful, loving women in your life.
Gregory's lips twitched at her statement.
Aether blessed me too, because they're all Aether blessed. I wouldn't know how to feel if one of them grew old while I was still in my prime.
It would hurt. I hope one day to find love like you all have.
Her eyes sparkled when she said it. Gregory took her hand, leading her toward the dressing room.
I'm sure you'll find the right family for you in time. One where you'll be cherished, not just for your body or mind, but all the way to your soul.
I wouldn't mind the loving of my body to come sooner, Virka managed with a straight face. Yukiko laughed.
Not today, at least.
That would be awkward. Virka laughed along with Yukiko and the others.
Especially for me, Gregory chuckled. Food for now.
As you wish, Virka whispered.
Chapter 20. Leaving the bathhouse behind, the group followed Virka to an out-of-the-way restaurant. There wasn't a sign to declare it as such, but the smell of food and the little traffic coming and going made it clear that it was. The dining area had tables with long benches, not individual tables. Virka led them to one edge that had both sides clear. Gregory took an end with Virka beside him, then Yukiko and Jen. Mindy, Roshana, Ling, and Clover took up the other side across from them.
Mother Anna's kitchen. It's special.
Virka grinned.
Enjoy.
What do you mean?
Gregory asked. Virka just shook her head, then waved to a young man.
Eight!
With a nod, the man picked up some dirty dishes and then went through a doorway. A couple of minutes later, he was coming to the table with a little girl beside him.
Moha daughter, welcome back, and with new friends!
He grinned as he began to lay platters on the table.
Anna has your tea.
The little girl put the two pots on the table and then untied the cups from her belt. She giggled when Verka ruffled her hair before rushing back to the kitchen.
Steph, son is Anna daughter's eldest. Tell your mother to come out for a bit. She should meet my friends.
Steph finished putting the platters out, then paused when he looked at Gregory.
I think I've seen you before.
Probably,
Gregory grinned.
That accent. Magi!
Stev's eyes widened slowly.
Honorable, he fought my brother during the festival, Verka said. His wife, Mindy, is the one who healed my eyes.
She pointed Mindy out to Stev.
All of them are his wives, and they know only love. Treat them as friends, because that's what they are.
Stev's head jerked slightly before he clapped his fist to his chest.
Enjoy.
Murmurs of magi came from down the table and the other tables nearby.
They came dressed as we do so they can have a greater understanding of what life should be,
Verka said a little loudly.
I speak for them, and I know my brother would too. You've seen them honor Krog during the festival. Don't let old hatred erase the honor they have shown.
No one will be causing problems here.
The voice that spoke was that of a mother about to scold a child.
I won't have it. The rules are the rules. No fighting and no arguing. Only good food.
Yes, Mother,
came a chorus of voices before laughter rang out.
That's better,
Mother Anna said. Gregory looked over his shoulder where Mother Anna was coming their way. She was plump, with a wide smile as she bustled over to the table.
Any friends of Verka are friends of ours. She saved my Anna 2 years back, and she told me that you healed her eyes. You'll always be welcome here. Magi or not. Now eat. Eat and enjoy.
Verka had already served herself.
Yes, Mother.
The others were quick to serve themselves, too. The food was simple, but it was seasoned well and made them want to eat more.
She certainly is respected,
Yukiko said between bites.
Anna, daughter. She's like her mother and her mother all the way back to Krog.
Verka chuckled.
Their family has always been part of the city. The food has improved, but the rules are the same. Rumor says that her family cooked for Krog. While they've changed locations over the generations, they've never failed to serve good food.
Seeing her knowing smile, they all assumed she was telling the truth. The family of Anna daughter had a long history.
Wasn't her daughter Anna as well?
Clover asked.
The first girl is always Anna, and she'll take over for her mother, Verka said softly. Twice it came close to breaking tradition, I've been told. Both times the best priest healer was brought to help the mother become pregnant. Gifted healers have saved the children of the family, keeping the tradition alive many times in the past.
Is there a specific reason why?
Ling asked.
It's just tradition. Many believe that Krog will only return if an Anna is here to cook for him again.
A group from down the table got up, leaving money behind as they walked out. Stev was there a moment later to collect the coin and wipe down the table.
What's the cost?
Yukiko asked.
There is no set cost, Verka said. It's pay what you deem it worth. Anyone can come to eat here, even if they have no money.
As if to underscore her point, a haggard-looking man in rough rags came in. He went to the farthest empty spot and slumped onto the bench. Stev was there with a platter and a mug a minute later, speaking softly to the man.
Those who have no family to help them, no home of their own, they come in often, Verka said sadly. They could have more help, but their pride keeps them from accepting it until their stomach gnaws at them enough.
I was curious about that,
Rishana said.
We've seen far less of the unfortunate here than in a city in the Empire.
Because family and clan help, Verka said, then lowered her voice again. Only those too stubborn to accept are the ones like Mika there. Old fool that he is.
A group of Yurtek came strolling in a moment later, a diverse group of 6 different heritages that went to a nearby table with enough spots for them. Jen watched them with pursed lips, but didn't say anything. She'd seen the Panther Yurtek when they'd left the bathhouse. She was sure he was the same one, as his shirt had a stain near his collar. The conversation dropped off for a bit until Jen sighed.
Filling and tasty. I think Serenia would have enjoyed it. Or someone like her would, if they came in.
Yukiko's eyes narrowed for a second before she nodded.
I see. She was always there to watch over us in the archive.
What?
Clover asked.
We're just enjoying that Kroga is so open to everyone.
Yukiko smiled at Clover.
Human, elf, dwarf, yurtic, everyone is equal. As long as they respect Krog's teachings, it doesn't even matter if they have aether.
Oh!
Clover said.
I get it.
Sweet one, you are adorable.
Ling smiled, then leaned her head against Clover's shoulder briefly. Clover blushed lightly, her bushy tail twitching behind her.
Aw, thank you.
Gregory didn't look at the yurtic group, but his resonance lightly brushed them. For a moment, he felt a response from the panther yurtic, but then it was